Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Hamilton Road Baptist online broadcast. This will probably be the last time we broadcast like this. As of next week, we hopefully will be live streaming. We're living in a world of uncertainties at present, as we're all aware, but we're very thankful this morning because we have good news, and the good news is that God is on his throne. God is on his throne, and that throne is forever. So we're now going to sing a song that talks about this. It's entitled, There Is a Higher Throne.
Hello, boys and girls. It is great to be able to share another passage from the Bible with you today. And I'm actually really excited to share this one because this has some amazing things happen in it. Because we're going to pick up the passage in Matthew where Jesus has been preaching on the mountain and telling people all the ways to live for God. And they're starting to believe him, so they're starting to follow. In fact, Matthew says that there are now crowds of people following Jesus. How amazing is that? But we're not going to think about the crowds this morning. We're going to think about three people, and we're going to use three actions to help us think about those people. So the first action we're going to do is to think. So point at your head and say think. The next action we're going to do is to trust. So we're going to make a chopping symbol with our hands and say trust. And the third action is to love. So we're going to put our hand on our heart and think about love. So think, trust, and love. Do you think you could do those now? As I tell the story, listen out for think, trust, and love, and you can do the actions. And keep an eye on the grown-ups as well to make sure they're listening carefully and doing the actions as well. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. So in Matthew 8, Jesus is coming down from the mountain and many, many people are following him. But there was one man in particular who had a problem and he began to think, if I put my trust in Jesus, he might help me with my problem. Because this man had leprosy, which means that your skin gets really, really sore. And it's also very easy to pass on to other people. So he had to stay away from everybody. But this man began to think, I'm going to trust Jesus and I'm going to ask him to heal me. So he went to Jesus, he knelt in front of him, he said, Lord, if you are willing, would you make me clean? And Jesus loved this man. He loved this man with leprosy. And so he healed him. And at the very minute that he spoke, he was healed. And so Jesus sent the man to the priest, which was the normal thing to do in those days. All because the man was able to think about putting his trust in Jesus, and because Jesus loved him, the man was healed. Jesus then travelled on to a town called Capernaum, and there he met a Roman official. Again, Roman officials wouldn't have been friends with a lot of the people. This Roman official in the Bible was called a centurion, and the centurion had a problem. The centurion had a sick servant at home, but the centurion began to think that he could trust Jesus to heal his servant. So he went to Jesus and he said, you know, Jesus, I trust you to heal my servant, and explained his problem. Now, Jesus loved the Roman centurion and Jesus loved the Roman centurion's servant. So he said, shall I come to your home and heal him? But the Roman centurion said, no, Jesus, all you need to do is say the word, and I trust that you will heal him. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He said, I have never seen anyone in all of Israel who trusted me or had faith in me like this man here. And so he was able to say the word, and the centurion's servant was healed. Amazing. Because the Roman centurion had put his trust in Jesus, and because Jesus loved him, and he loved his servant, he was healed. Now Jesus travelled on with Peter to Peter's house. And you remember Peter, his disciple, from the start of the story in Matthew. Peter's mother was very sick. When they got to the house, she was ill in bed and she had a fever. But remember that Jesus loved Peter. And Jesus loved Peter's mother. And so Jesus put his hand onto Peter's mother and she was healed. Now, do you remember I said that there was a crowd following Jesus the whole time? So they saw everything that had happened. And because of that, many people began to think, you know, I have a problem. I have someone who is sick or I'm sick. I could put my trust in Jesus and Jesus will love me and Jesus will heal me. And so many people came to Jesus after that. They put their trust in Jesus and he was able to heal them because he loved them. Jesus loved the person with leprosy, he loved the Roman centurion, and he loved Peter's mother. So he was able to heal them all. And that's a good reminder for us this week that maybe we will have problems that we'll come across. We need to think about putting our trust in Jesus and knowing that Jesus will love us enough to help with our problems. But also, if we are a friend of Jesus, we need to share that message with other people. So if maybe some of the friends or family that you meet this week have problems, you could think about how to help them put their trust in Jesus and help them by showing love so that they know that God loves them and Jesus loves them enough to help them with their problems. So this week, as we think about the passage from Matthew, think about how you can think about putting your trust in Jesus, helping others to put their trust in Jesus, how you can show love to others, and how you know that Jesus loves you and the other people in your life enough to help you with their problems.
Okay, boys and girls, this is a song that we do in Coonies and Juniors together, so I need everybody up off their sofas and doing all the actions with me so that I'm not just looking silly by myself. Okay, everybody, let's go, Willie.
Let's pray. God, I thank you that we can begin to meet together again as a church family and for keeping those among us safe during this difficult time. I pray, God, for those in our church family who still won't be able to join with us, and I pray that your Holy Spirit will be their comforter. God, I thank you for the leadership of our church and many churches across the UK who have worked so hard in encouraging their people during lockdown, and we thank you that you have remained faithful in that time. God, keep our country safe at this time as tensions rise in politics and celebrations take place this week. We pray, God, that we will not take our eyes off you, and God, that you will have your way in this government and in this land. God, keep us safe in your hands at this time, free from distraction and close to your Son, Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17.
When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them."
When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve you to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment.
When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfil what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases.
Sets me free, Jesus Christ. things I love about reading the Gospels is that you get to see the actions and the words of Jesus up close and personal. And not just that, but as we follow the first steps of the king throughout Matthew's eyewitness account, you actually get to see beyond the actions and beyond the words, right into the very heart of Jesus the king. And today we're going to explore what that heart looks like and hopefully feel that heart beating for you, for this lost and this broken world, for your friends and your family around. And we are going to see the compassionate heart of Jesus today. We are picking Jesus up in Matthew chapter 8. He has just finished the Sermon on the Mount. People are amazed at what they have heard. He has taught with such authority. And now that we're going to see him act with such authority as well. And hopefully as you come, you're going to see that the compassion of Jesus 2,000 years ago is the same compassion that he has for you and I and others around us today. So let's read Matthew 8 verses 1 to 4. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. His popularity was beginning to peak here. If he was on Twitter, he would have been getting retweets and he would have been increasing his followers at an exponential rate here. So a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And here we see that Jesus touches the untouchable. This man came and he was a leper. He had this disease called leprosy. It was a contagious, it was a debilitating, it was a fatal disease. It was a disease of the skin and it would have come out in pores and sores. It also attacked your throat and you find it hard to breathe and to talk. It also disintegrated your limbs, so some of your toes and your fingers would have started to fall off, and increasingly this was a disastrous disease. And everybody who had leprosy was a super spreader and they actually had to walk around saying, unclean, unclean. And they were told not to come inside the city walls and certainly not to come into the temple worship. Here a leper comes as a social outcast, somebody who has no place in Israel. And yet we see Jesus comes and he touches the untouchable. Do you see how the leper comes to him? He comes with great confidence that Jesus is able to heal him and says, Lord. Here's a sign of respect. Actually, the only people in the Gospels to call Jesus Lord or his disciples are those who may be coming to follow him. So it's even more than calling him sir. He says, Lord, if you are willing, here's a leper who knows that Jesus is able to heal him. He's possibly heard of Jesus healing others of other diseases in the past, as Matthew has recorded, but possibly never seen Jesus heal somebody who has leprosy. But he knows Jesus can. He comes with confidence, says, you can make me clean. But he also comes with humility, calling him Lord. He also comes through a large crowd that he hasn't been allowed to be a part of, to make his way to the very feet of Jesus as he comes and as he kneels before him in humility. He made his way through the large crowd following him just to get to see Jesus and to ask for this healing. So how does Jesus respond? He could just say, be clean, and he would be clean. He could just say, you're healed, and he would be healed. But he touches him. This man will not have been touched for months, for years, for as long as he had leprosy. He wouldn't have felt the human touch of another human being. Because what happened is if he touched somebody who had leprosy, you then became a leper as well. It was that contagious. And Jesus touches them. But Jesus doesn't become unclean. Jesus doesn't get his leprosy, but he gets Jesus' cleanness. He gets Jesus' healing. He touches him and he says, be clean. This man for weeks, for months, for years has gone around saying, unclean, 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 unclean. And Jesus comes and says, be clean. And immediately he is healed. The sores fall off his skin, possibly his limbs and his fingers and his toes are restored. Immediately he is healed. Can you see here the compassion of Jesus to touch him, to heal him? Can you also see the power of Jesus to do that? Not only does Jesus want to heal him, but Jesus also has the power to heal him. He says, go away, don't tell anyone, show yourself to the priest. Jesus hasn't come to create a popularity contest and to win that contest. You know, he's come to show his power and authority. He's come to show who the kingdom of God is for, and it's for the unclean, like this leper. It's for those that society feels are untouchable, for the outsider. I wonder today, as you read this part of the passage, do you feel unclean? Do you feel like an outsider? Do you feel that you have no place in God's kingdom, in God's church? I hope that you see not just the actions of Jesus today, but the very heart of Jesus to reach out, to touch those who are unclean, to embrace them, to grant them healing. And for you and I, he does that with our sin. As we come to him unclean because of our sin, Jesus goes on to the cross towards the end of the gospel, at the end of his life, and he goes there for you and I, so that we who are sin would know forgiveness of that sin, so that Jesus actually became sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God. Jesus takes our imperfect record and gives us his perfect record. Here's a great exchange of Christianity. Here's a very compassionate heart of Jesus. Will you embrace Jesus? Will you allow Jesus to embrace you today?
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
not only do we see that Jesus touches the untouchable, we also see that Jesus loves his enemies. And if you know anything about the Sermon on the Mount, you'll know this is one of his key teachings, to love your enemies. And somebody has entitled this part of the Sermon on the Move. Jesus is putting into practice what he has preached. Read with me in verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come to heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Here we see Jesus' love for his enemies. The centurion was a Gentile. He was working for the Romans. He was oppressing the Jewish people at the time. The Jews hated this oppression that they were under from the Romans. And yet we see this man has a real softness towards Jesus. He has an openness towards God. And we see he comes to Jesus because his servant is paralyzed and unwell. This is unusual because in that culture, a servant could have been just thrown onto the scrap heap and he could have got another one. Yet he cares for his servant. He's possibly tried other ways to bring healing to his servant, but now he comes to Jesus. And he comes humbly and confidently again. He says again this word, "Lord." He says, "Just say the word and he will be healed." He also realizes that he doesn't deserve to have Jesus come into his house. This would be somewhat like if the Queen was to come to visit your town and you got to talk to her and you say, "Well, sure, come around to my house for a cup of tea." Well, none of us really deserve to have the Queen come to our house. Much less so do we deserve to have the King of the universe come into our house. And yet Jesus was willing to come. Something culturally unacceptable for the Jews to go into a Gentile's house. Yet Jesus is breaking down all of these man-made barriers. Here we see the compassionate heart of Jesus again. And here we see that Jesus doesn't need to be in the presence of the servant to bring healing. He just says a word from afar and the healing comes immediately. Here we see the power and the compassion of Jesus again, that he would love his enemies like this. Now just at this point, I want to pause and to consider the whole area of Jesus healing people and healing today. And I want to say that there's a real mystery in this. First of all, there's a mystery to suffering. As in why some people suffer in certain ways and others suffer in other ways. Why did the leper here have leprosy and not somebody else? Why was the centurion servant paralyzed and not the centurion? And you could ask that question in today's world as well. There's a great mystery to suffering. And there's a great mystery to healing as well. Because God is the same God who is compassionate and powerful today. And yet there is a mystery. In some people, God will grant healing to in this life. And there's some people who won't be granted healing in this life. And there's a great mystery to that. But one thing is guaranteed. For those who have faith in Jesus, for those who are following him, that one day physical healing will be granted to all. As we enter the new creation, to the new heavens and the new earth, we will be given resurrected bodies and we'll be free from pain and suffering and every tear will be wiped away. That is the assurance for the believer today. The other assurance for the believer is that as we come to Jesus, we know that our sins are dealt with. That Jesus will grant healing of the sickness of our sin and the separation that causes with God. And for some, physical healing will come in this world. And for others, that will come in the next. So if you are suffering, If you are hurting, can I encourage you to come to Jesus? Can I encourage you to ask people to pray for you? Can I encourage you to embrace the compassionate heart of Jesus? Can I encourage you to talk to the elders or leaders in your church or our church? And we long to help you through this path of suffering that you're walking. But here today we see Jesus embracing two outsiders, a Gentile, a paralyzed servant, a leper. Jesus hasn't seen as great a faith in all the land. In verse 10 here, it says that Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Verse 12, "But subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside in the darkness where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And the servant was healed at that moment. You see, there's a warning in this as well, that while we are looking at the very compassionate heart of Jesus, for those who reject this compassionate heart of Jesus today, that there are consequences. And Jesus here is referencing the weeping and gnashing of teeth, into the darkness will be thrown, the hell that we will be in for all eternity if we do not embrace the compassionate heart of Jesus. Can I encourage you to embrace it? Jesus touches the untouchable. Jesus loves his enemies. And finally, I want us to see that Jesus remembers their forgotten. Let's read in verse 14. "When Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. She got up and began to wait on him." Here, after a long day of ministry outside and the hustle and bustle and the business of the crowds, Jesus comes back to Peter's house and Jesus sees Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. And here again we see the compassionate heart of Jesus. At this time in the Jewish world, women were considered second-class citizens, and here we see Jesus embracing an elderly woman, possibly somebody who was forgotten about by society, but Jesus hasn't forgotten about her. She has her fever. We don't know what it is, but it's causing her to be lying in bed. Jesus comes in again with that touch. He touches her, and immediately she is healed. Again, we see the compassion and the heart of Jesus here. For those not necessarily expected, a leper, a Gentile servant, and a woman. Possibly not the three people that the Jews at the time would have expected to be in the kingdom of God. And yet Jesus is doing this, and Matthew is recording this to show who the kingdom of God is for. It's for all. You see, many devout Jews of the time would have prayed a daily prayer, something along the lines of this: "Lord, I thank you that I was not born a slave, a Gentile, or a woman." And what has Jesus come to do? He has come to tell the slave, the Gentile, the woman, the people of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every ethnic background, every social group, no matter who you are, no matter what your race or color or background or social group is, Jesus has come to say, this kingdom is for you. And he says, "Come to me and I will give you rest. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is near." You see, Jesus can embrace all of these people. Jesus can bring healing because ultimately he was going to go to the cross, as Matthew tells us in verse 17. All this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. And on the cross, Jesus can bring physical healing to us ultimately. Not guaranteed in this world. What is guaranteed in this world through the cross of Jesus is that you can know your sins forgiven. You can know the embrace of Jesus. You can know adoption into God's family. today. I wonder, as you've listened to this broadcast or to the many broadcasts that we have done, possibly you've never been to church before. Possibly you think you're too unclean, unworthy to come to a church building. That is nonsense. I urge you today to come to Jesus, to bow the knee, to call him Lord, to give your life to him, to repent of your sin and to start to follow him, and then to come and to join us as we seek to live as the church of God in these days, as we seek to show others the compassionate heart of Jesus. And if you are a Christian listening to this, maybe God has been rebuking you as he has rebuked me in the past week. Show me afresh his compassionate heart for the lost. And the question is, how is our heart and our compassion for the lost, for those who are not like us, for the refugee, for the immigrant, for those of a different social class, for those of a different political persuasion? May God give us his heart for the lost.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall. The kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Salvation.
Well, I hope you've been challenged by the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ over sickness and sin, and how he offers us the cure for our sin on the cross. Next week, we hope to actually be able to gather physically in this building. And we're going to do it a little bit differently than we did it back in March. We're going to do it over 2 Sunday morning services so that we can move the seats out, keep our 2-meter distance from one another, and yet still be together in this building, able to worship the Lord. If you're unable to come, if you're shielding for medical reasons, we'll still be able to reach you with our live stream from this building so that each one of us next Sunday will be able to worship the Lord. So let me pray as we close this broadcast and as we look forward to what God is going to do with us in the future. Let's put our trust and our hope in him. Our Father, we thank you for all that you have been saying to us over these many, many months as we've been in lockdown. But Father, as we anticipate a gathering next week physically, we pray that you would bless us. We pray that you would strengthen us and that you would protect us. We thank you, Father, that you're always speaking. And we pray that in these days that we would be a people that are attentive to what you have to say to us. We thank you for what we've learned about Jesus today. We thank you for his compassion for those that were sick, and that he displayed his power not just over sickness, but triumphing over sin and death on the cross. So Lord God, be with us until we meet again, for we ask it in Jesus' name.